From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. We have a packed studio today. I feel like I'm at a presidential news conference. People taking pictures. I feel like I have to give a speech here. We have the winners of the Diocesan Speech Contest with us, and you're going to be treated to all of their speeches today. And they don't even have notes with them. They memorize these speeches, so a lot of pressure. And maybe they have notes. Who knows? But first, I'd like to introduce Lori Power from the Schools Department to tell us all about the speech contest, how it came about, and what annual is this?
This is our 20th annual speech contest. Yes, we've been doing it for quite a number of years. It's an amazing event for our 7th and 8th graders in our diocese. Every year, we choose a faith-filled, usually Catholic-based topic, usually a quote from a pope or from a saint, and then the students have a few months to prepare a speech, and then they're chosen at their school. Schools can send two representatives to compete, and this year we had 38 students compete, and it was just an incredible event with these most wonderful, poised, mature, faith-filled young men and women, which you will be able to hear.
And it's just 7th and 8th grade?
7th and 8th grade, yeah, we limit to 7th and 8th graders, yes.
Why don't I let you introduce the five that we have here?
Sure.
That we're all finalists.
Sure.
And where they placed and et cetera.
There we go. So for the first time ever, we had a tie for first place. Both of the students for first place came from
A
likely story. came from St. John Notre Dame in Folsom. So we have Ivan Monsieur and Liam Bizjack, and they are both 8th graders at St. John Notre Dame in Folsom. We have Caitlin Harndon, and she is from Holy Trinity School in El Dorado Hills, and she placed in 4th place. We have Eliza Young from Holy Spirit Parish School here in Sacramento, and she placed in 2nd. And then we have Lola Fillion from Holy Family School in Citrus Heights, and she placed 3rd. So we have these incredible young men and women. I was telling them earlier that at the end of our speech competition, I had a grandfather come up to me, and he said, "I've been a lifelong Catholic, and those are the 5 best homilies I've ever heard."
Wow.
So this is the treat that your audience will get today.
Are they gonna preach on Sunday?
Well, two of them actually were at Mass, and it was such a busy responsibilities were happening at Mass that they got to do it during homily time. So. I know. Yes, so I don't know if that's okay.
Well, that's Pope Francis.
Yeah, I know. So they were able to do that. So that was exciting for them. And the one nice thing about this competition, too, we have the Toastmasters come and they volunteer their time and they are our judges for
the
whole event.
Mm-hmm. And you have it at St. James and David?
We do it at St. James every year. It's a nice local central location for our diocese.
And what's the format? How does it work?
So we break our students up into 3 different groups. They present in front of different judges. They present their speech twice, and then we total up their scores, and then the 5 top score getters are considered our finalists, and then they present to all of the judges, and then from there we get 1st, 2nd, and 3rd place.
Are they allowed to have notes, or do they have
They can have notes, but the majority of them don't. They just come out and they present like they're on fire. It's amazing.
Is there a word limit?
No, but there's a time limit. It's a 3-minute max time limit, but there's not a word limit.
Does anybody go over? Do you ring a bell? Or?
We don't. It's 7th and 8th grade, so we kind of keep an eye on the clock, but we certainly aren't brutal about that. Like, stop!
We
just let them, I don't think many of them want to talk longer than 3 minutes anyways. They're kind of like glad to be done. So
I know our city council has a 1 minute for public comment, which basically is saying we really don't want to hear what you have to say. But, at the end of that minute, man, that's the mic goes dead.
Yeah, no, we would never do that to our children. No, it's all about the kids. That's my motto. It's all about the kids. So whatever we can do to support them.
So Julie Moniz, the vice president at Holy Family?
Vice principal.
Yes. President. Oh, you're not running for office.
Vice president. That would be pretty special.
And you are one of the coaches?
I am. This is my 2nd year teaching at Holy Family, and my 1st year as vice principal. And I was so blessed to have 3 amazing competitors this year. But at the end of the day, Miss Lola Fillion here and one of our other students, Emma Thompson, were our top two, and they just did a brilliant job this year.
So how do you coach them? What does that involve?
So we look over what the prompt says to start, and we develop a plan for what we think maybe the meaning of the message is. And then we kind of work backwards from there. How do we personalize and internalize what it is that we're being asked to comment on? And this year's prompt was a tweet from 2012, I believe, from Pope Francis that said the saints were not superhuman. They were just people who loved God in their hearts and who shared that joy with others. So how can these young men and women strive to be saint-like in their regular day-to-day lives? What are some ordinary things that maybe are extraordinary when you look at them in a larger context?
That's a tough one.
It is. Very difficult.
Some of the lives of the saints are just, they're so extraordinary that it's almost discouraging.
It's a bit overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. Like, mm-hmm. could Maximilian Kolbe, it's like, could I have done that? Could I have even thought to do that?
Right.
You know, that kind of sacrifice is just mind-boggling. But we're all supposed to be on the same mission. We're all supposed to be striving to be saints.
And we all answer God's call in different ways. And I think what's beautiful about a competition like this with a prompt specifically like the one we had this year is it really gave our students a chance to interpret that and to take meaning from it in their own way and share that with us in different ways. And you will hear that today. They are all very different and unique, but they hit that message home in a beautiful way, individually. And that's what I believe made these our top five competitors this year.
So what was the toughest part of coaching?
Honestly, the hardest part was choosing the two that were going to compete because they all did such an amazing job. Another thing we struggle with is, of course, timing, you know, blocking as they're walking, when they're presenting, how they want to emote when they're making a point, their tone, their eye contact. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, these young men and women are all 13, 14 years old, you know, and one of mine was 12 when she began preparing for this competition. So, you know, it makes a difference when you take them through that process. And I don't know about the rest of you young ladies and gentlemen, but we had practice every Monday and Thursday at lunch. So they put in a lot of time and effort just making sure that they wrote a speech that was consistent, mm-hmm. and that had, you know, was on message, that hit the point that they were trying to make, and then figuring out a way to present that so that the listeners and the audience could really feel that. That's a big part of what we do as coaches.
Lori, how many kids were there altogether?
We had 38 this year.
38. Mm-hmm. Representing how many schools?
It was 19 schools.
So yeah. 19 to SMM math was. Yeah.
38 divided by 2 is 19.
That's right. Last time I checked.
Yes. We have one other coach that just stepped in. Yeah. So Steph Schiebert, she's our coach from St. John Notre Dame, and she consistently puts out our finalists. So I'd be anxious to hear what she has to say.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So what was the hardest part for you in the coaching?
Finding time. The our school, we have all 7th and 8th graders, so we have 78 7th and 8th graders. They all give this speech.
Wow.
And so they all get the topic. It's something they need to know how to know. Public speaking is an important skill they should have under their belt. From the 78, we choose our top two. And we met gentlemen probably every day for every lunch for 2 weeks. They write their speeches, their ideas. I just make sure that they're on topic, you know, a little bit of guidance. And like our other coach said, a lot of it is spent on the speaking skills.
So it's a double whammy, though, because they're not just reading a speech that was, here, read this. Mm-hmm. It's their own work. So that they have to be able to write, too.
It's their own work, and as Ivan said, after doing the contest, he goes, it's really the whole package.
Yeah.
It's the message, it's the presentation, it's the emotion, you know, that's what makes a good speech.
Wow. Is there a curriculum for this? at all? Just this is just kind of it's extracurricular.
Just a prompt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, though the seventh at St. John's, because the kids know it's coming up. The sixth graders kind of panic with the, oh no, next year is the speech, because they all have to give it. By eighth grade, they've done it once. All of them have done it once. So there's, I think there's much more willingness to go for it if they get chosen to compete in the contest.
And the goal is to get on the Bishop's Hour, is that right? That's
well, one step at a time. They just got to make it to the...
I'd have been terrified, at any age, but especially at that age. I remember in college we had I had a class that he had a seating chart, the professor did, and he would kind of do this dramatic pause, and he'd introduce the case or whatever he wanted, and he says, Mr. Dunning, everybody's holding their breath. There's 75 of us in the room. You're going, I got 74 chances not to get picked. And I would literally embarrass myself and say I'm not prepared, rather than get up and doubly embarrass. You know, it was so terrifying. It was easier to just say I'm not prepared, even if I was prepared. You know, so that's I admire them for doing this. Well, let's start with Ivan Mansour, St. John Notre Dame.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
We were talking to the principal of St. John Notre Dame a while ago, and he was explaining how it got the name. You know, I always thought that's an odd name, St. John Notre Dame. Usually, it's just Notre Dame or St. John. So, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're what grade again?
Eighth grade. Yep.
Have you picked a high school yet?
Pretty much. Yeah, I'm going to Folsom High School.
Okay.
And
a bulldog.
Yes, sir.
Very good.
In my spare time, I like to practice piano. Music is really one of my passions. Video games, of course. I mean, how can you not? And recently, I found an affinity for painting, which I want to start maybe sometime over Christmas break.
Really? So, have you gone your whole elementary career through St. John Notre Dame?
Yep. Since junior K, wow. 10 years now.
Wow, so a cradle Catholic.
Yep.
Wow. So what else? What's your favorite subject in school?
I'd say either science, history, or English. You know, it's just I find I have a lot of interest in those subjects. Even in my spare time, I like to learn more about them compared to other subjects.
Very good. I presume you probably have a college pick by now, too.
No, not really.
Do you have something that you're thinking about?
I'm definitely thinking about maybe an Ivy League school, mm-hmm. maybe Harvard, a law school, something like that, especially in law, because that's where the speech skills, they transfer over.
Indeed they do, yeah. We used to, when as a kid, we'd watch Perry Mason. Yeah. But now you watch it and you go, that doesn't work that way. You know, you can't spring things on people. You have to have discovery. You know, and you're going, Perry Mason was breaking all the rules. Anyway, have you heard of Perry Mason?
No, sir.
Oh, see? There you go. Thanks, Ivan. Liam? I'm just going to take a wild guess that it's an Irish name.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Good. Liam Bizjak, St. John Notre Dame. Good to have you. You're an eighth grader as well?
Yes, I am.
Yep. So did this make you nervous, or is this something you actually look forward to?
So in the very beginning, like since we started the speech project and in seventh grade too, I was like, think of how cool that would be to be on the speech contest because, wow. One, it's the best out of two classes, and you get to go to a whole speech contest. So it was really something that I was looking forward to and hoping. But during the competition and before, it was very nerve-wracking because it's a three-minute-long speech, and there's a lot of stuff that goes into it.
Was it harder writing it or delivering it?
To me, it was harder writing it. Just because you have to think about all the components that go with the quote. you have to think of like what it means to you, how you could relate it to society now, how you could find someone that resembles that. There's just a lot of parts that have to be taken into account.
So were the judges making eye contact with you? I remember when I was years ago when I was being trained for radio, it was like a 2-hour training program, and you know, and he said I was going to do a talk show for KFBK, and the program director said, take a picture. My wife, take a picture, put it up right in front of you, and just talk to her or talk to him or talk to whoever it is, your coach from school or whatever it was. And it really worked, you know, because otherwise you're like, you have no idea, because on the radio you're in a darkened room by yourself, you know, and you have no idea. You can't tell a joke because there's no feedback, you know, and you can't make a face because there's no camera. You can't do anything, you know. But that notion. So did you feel like you were talking to the judges?
So for when I was doing my speech, I kind of tried to talk to the audience, but then I totally didn't ignore the judges because, you know, they're kind of the people that are judging you. So it was a mix of looking at the judges and the audience. I mostly looked at the judges when there was like a main point that I need to get across, because like just one point getting understood by the judges or not could be a point or two difference.
Was there a good sized crowd of other than the judges?
Oh yeah, there was the judges, and then the bleachers were packed. Wow. There was like, and then there were people standing up near the entrance. There was a lot of people.
Wow. Caitlin Harnden.
Yes,
from
hello.
Holy Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
What grade again?
Eighth.
Is everybody an eighth grader? Mm-mm. I won't. Okay, so I know you're both seventh. Got it. Oh, you're eighth. Oh, you were shaking your head for her. Oh, good. Did you give her speech too? No. Okay. All right. Caitlin, tell us about yourself.
Well, I am involved in a lot of extracurricular activities. I do 4-H. I play softball. I'm in choir. I've been looking forward to doing the speech contest for a really long time as well, like Liam said. Because in sixth grade, what we do is we still have to give speeches, but it's not like this. We just give a how-to speech. Mm-hmm. So when I was in sixth grade, I did how to show a rabbit for 4-H. And then in seventh and eighth grade, that's when you start preparing for this. And last year, I was one of the top 10 at my school, but I wasn't the top 2 that were chosen. Mm-hmm. And this year I was, so I was really excited.
So what position do you play in softball?
Pitcher and outfield.
Like this?
Yeah.
That was a real fast pitch. I played left out.
Cool. Yeah.
Are you familiar with that position?
Yeah. No, I got it. Yeah.
Very good. So any other sports you play?
No, just I played volleyball in fifth grade, but just softball.
So what's your favorite subject in school?
Probably English.
Good.
I really like writing.
So that was the next question. Was the writing or the speaking the harder part?
Definitely the writing, because speaking you just have to memorize it, and obviously you have to like control your tone of voice and how you're talking, but it's a lot harder to write it because, like Liam said, you have to think of all the components that go into it. So writing's definitely harder.
What about the time limit? Or did that keep you from? Was it hard to speak that long, or was it too short?
Not really. I don't have a problem with writing a whole lot. My social studies teacher assigned an essay, and he said at least 300 words, and I gave him 580. So I don't have a problem with length. But at one point, I had 3 different versions of my speech, and I was deciding which one to go with. So, no, the length wasn't a problem.
So do you have a high school picked out?
Yes, I'm going to Ponderosa.
Very good. That's Shingle Springs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very good. Liam, I forgot to ask you, do you have a high school picked out?
I'm going to Oak Ridge High School in El Dorado Hills.
Very good. Eliza Young from Holy Spirit.
Yes, hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
So you're the only seventh grader here?
Yes, indeed.
Very good. Very good. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 12 years old, and I love to sing and act out of school, and I also enjoy reading.
Act up at school, did you say, or act out?
Act out,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I love performing.
Very good. What about academic subjects?
My favorite subject is history because I love how it tells a story.
It's interesting. The speech contest winners, I haven't heard anybody mention math yet. And
no.
The academic decathlon winners, they all said they loved math. Yeah, very interesting. So talk about preparing for this.
Well, I knew I wanted to mention St. Eugenia because, like I said in my speech, it was my great-grandmother's name. Mm-hmm. So when I first got the topic, I wrote basically a biography on her. And I'm like, that's not the topic. So I switched it around a little bit and came up with the speech that I said originally. But at first, mine was like 3.5 minutes. So I had to cut a lot out. But yeah.
Wow. So tell us, you said it was your grandmother?
My great-grandmother's.
Your great-grandmother. So
yeah.
Where was she from?
She was from around here, yeah.
Okay. And,
yeah.
Wow. So what was so special about her?
Well, my great-grandmother raised my mom, and her mom raised her, and she always has such like a very special place with my family and my mom and me. So I really wanted to mention her because I felt like she, in a way, has shaped me even though I've never met her.
Very good. So do you have a high school picked out?
I'm trying to decide between Christian Brothers and St. Francis.
Wow.
Yeah.
Both great schools. Yeah. Julie Moniz? Oh, Lola. No, Julie, I'm sorry. I apologize. I was looking at I got the last one in my list here. Lola Fillion.
Yes, hi.
From Holy Family.
Hello.
You said it was Fillion like million.
Yes.
Tell us about yourself.
So I enjoy performing a lot outside of school. I am involved at a community theater up in Yuba City by where I live. I would like to go to Faith Christian for high school, which is also up by where I live in Yuba City. My favorite color is yellow. I enjoy a lot of literature, and lately I've been writing a lot of songs, which,
really?
Yes, I play guitar. I really want a ukulele for Christmas. And yeah.
I'll call her parents and tell them. Or Santa. Wait, do you still believe in Santa?
Yes and no.
Yeah, okay.
I believe in St. Nicholas.
Good answer. So what academically, what are your favorite subjects?
I really like literature because I like to write poems and stories and things.
So songwriting, what kind of stuff you write about?
Okay, that's a very vast question.
Really?
It varies from like, I wrote a song about a cat one time, and I know you're thinking smelly cat for those of you who have heard it, but I wrote a song about a cat called Princess the Cat. And basically, it's based around one of my cats named Princess. And every time I would play guitar, she would come downstairs and listen. So the words are, Princess the cat loves music. She listens every single day. And then it goes on about, she wishes she could be in the harmony, but all she can do is meow. So, yeah.
So when you're writing a song, you do just the lyrics or do you do the melody? Or how do you do that?
It's kind of all at once. I'll be like sitting somewhere. And then all of a sudden, I'll get this inspiration, and I go rush to find my guitar or whatever I can find that can make a beat or some kind of melody, and then I'll just start writing something down. One time, I wrote a song in a restaurant on the back of a napkin. So it's really anywhere.
Wow. I write a newspaper column, and you know, you're always just thinking, oh, yeah, I'll write that down. But I swim every day, and I get my best ideas when I'm swimming. And there's no way to write it down. By the time I get out of the pool, I've forgotten it. So, So you're going to go to Faith Christian, you said?
Yes.
Is that right in Yuba City?
I believe so.
So you have a pretty good commute.
Yes. I've been going to Holy Family since I was in kindergarten, and I moved out to Pleasant Grove, actually, mm-hmm. when I was in fourth grade, the summer from fourth grade to fifth grade. And since Holy Family only goes to eighth grade, and I love the school so much, I wanted to stick it out until eighth grade because it's such an amazing school and I had formed such close connections.
Very good. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, if you guys are up for it, we're going to have them not read their speeches, but deliver their speeches. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
Thank you, Bishop Wiegand. Thanks for all you do and can have done and continue to do here in the Diocese of Sacramento and for the Universal Church. Well, we are with the five speech contest winners, and we are now going to get a real treat. We're going to hear from all five of them, beginning with Caitlin Herndon, who is from Holy Trinity. Caitlin, go ahead.
All right, thank you.
Lori, do you have the, I've got it here somewhere, the actual question?
The prompt?
Yeah. The prompt, I'm sorry.
So the prompt was a tweet from Pope Francis, and I'm going to kind of generalize it. It was, the saints were not superhuman. They were just people who loved God with all their heart and spread the joy with others. Is that something very similar to that? Yeah. Share the joy with others. And then the question was, how will you share this, strive to live like a saint as an adolescent? So.
Very good. Go ahead, Caitlin.
Thanks. How does one live like a saint? It seems tough since we label the saints as perfect, almost superhuman people. We automatically assume it is impossible to be a saint. Thankfully, though, Pope Francis's quote can help us. The saints were not superhuman. They were people who loved God in their hearts and who shared this joy with others. So how can I, a simple, everyday person, yearn and strive to live like the saints? Well, they were just people like you and me, so there are many ways I personally can imitate them. I can perform small acts of love, practice stewardship, and live by example. To begin with, I can do the little things like St. Teresa of Lisieux, because nothing is too small for God. These minuscule acts include holding the door for someone or helping them up when they fall. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is just that little extra. Jimmy Johnson. This quote means that even the saints whom we label as extraordinary were really just ordinary people. The only variation is that they put a little extra into their deeds. I may only be able to do ordinary things, but they become extraordinary when I do them with extra love. Pursuing this further, I can practice stewardship. I can give my time to God by praying and attending weekly Mass. I can also offer my talents. God blessed me with the talents of singing and public speaking, which I can use to proclaim His word. In addition, I can donate my treasure to those less fortunate than me. These include clothes, money, and food. Lastly, I can live by example, just as the saints did. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. St. Francis of Assisi. This quote means that we can demonstrate how the saints lived by how we live. However, when necessary, we are to directly state the word of God. As Pope Francis said, the saints simply shared God's love with the world. They did this by living by example. To conclude, attempting to live like the saints seems overwhelming, but it isn't. They were not superhuman. I can bring God to everyone I meet by doing the little things, practicing stewardship, and living by example. I am an ordinary person, but I have the ability to do the extraordinary things God planned for me. I can yearn and strive to live like the saints. How will you?
Very good. Very good.
Very nicely done.
I like that you said you know the extraordinary things that God has planned, because I firmly believe that we all have, you know, it's not like, oh, well, they're very famous or they're very talented or they're very something. We all have a specific job that God wants us to do. And if God's dictating it, it is extraordinary. So thanks for that. You said Jimmy Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a saint?
No. I just, my
on the path.
My homeroom math and religion teacher, Mrs. Mayer, she puts quotes everywhere all over her room on little posters, and that's one of the ones she used to have on her door.
Coach? Yeah. Jim, the old Jimmy Johnson? Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's on his path, yeah.
That was one of the quotes she had, I've always liked that one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Now we have Lola Fillion from Holy Family.
Hello.
You are all set.
Cancer. It's just a word. Until it becomes an uninvited guest that enters into your family. You then see it as a villain that can only be defeated by a superhuman. As it tries to take over, you struggle to find a stronghold to cling to in the chaos that this uninvited guest has created. You pray for a cure. You pray for relief. You pray for a superhuman to come and save you. But what we often don't realize is that our superhuman is much closer than we think. When I was in the sixth grade, this villain invaded my family. When this happened, my grandmother became my superhuman. Little did I know that she would give me strength in the midst of the chaos. Little did I know that she would show me examples of compassion and support, which in turn would show me how to deal with this villain. Pope Francis once tweeted, "The saints were not superhuman. They were just people who loved God in their hearts and who shared this joy with others." This quote came to mind when, in May of this year, this uninvited guest entered into my family again and took my grandfather. It is because of my grandmother's example and the words of Pope Francis that I was able to help my grandfather during the final few months of his life. It is because of these examples that I, a 13-year-old girl, am able to help others in similar situations. It is because of these amazing examples that I now know how to be superhuman. In the words of Mother Teresa, never worry about numbers. Help one person at a time, and always start with the person nearest to you. Thank you.
Wow.
Very nice.
Thanks, Lola. That was excellent. Yeah, the Mother Teresa quote, somebody said it to me the other day about well, you just helped one person, not like, I mean, big deal. And she said it was a big deal to the one person I helped, you know. So, yeah, that's very good.
Thank you.
I didn't expect that topic. Let me just ask you a question or two. Was doing a speech that personal, Was it something you debated? Is it something you thought about?
Yes, actually. I thought about my emotional structure, I guess, while doing that, if I was going to be able to perform and do that in front of a lot of people. And I decided that it was probably going to touch someone in a way that may have helped them later in life, maybe shown them that, okay, maybe I should help people with something that I've suffered through as well. And I think that's really, that was one of the main driving forces that made me decide to do that speech.
Oh, very good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Eliza Young from Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Our only seventh grade. Go ahead.
Courageous, daring, immortal, invincible. There are so many adjectives we could use to describe today's litany of superheroes. Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. But did you ever think about how these might also apply to another litany? The litany of saints. Saints are certainly not born superhuman or with superhero powers, and would be the last ones to describe themselves as such. But sometimes it definitely seems that way. For example, St. Joseph of Cupertino could levitate, apparently, and St. Padre Pio could read minds and bilocate. Crazy, right? Catholics used to turn to these saints for help, guidance, even miracles. And they would even ask that saint to solve a problem, like finding lost keys, as if the saint was some sort of clairvoyant. Has anybody heard of St. Eugenia? Yeah, anyone? Anyone? Nope. Just as I thought. Well, my great-grandma was named after St. Eugenia, and is also my baptismal name. She has a very special place in my heart. St. Eugenia and my great-grandma shared so many wonderful qualities. They're both renowned for their beauty and had magnificent dispositions. Well, who was St. Eugenia? St. Eugenia lived in the 2nd century AD, and when she was just a teenager, she became acquainted with the letters of St. Paul, and she chose to become a Christian. She built a hospital to aid the poor, and while the Christians were being executed by the Romans, those terrified, terrified Christians went to her for refuge. Me personally, I go to St. Eugenia in my own times of need, and she has helped me through so many hard times, and she makes me yearn and strive to be a saint just like her. Saints mean so much to so many, and I am one of those people. Saints might be ordinary people like you and me, but they chose to do extraordinary things with their lives. Pope Francis said, "Genuine love is demanding, but its beauty lies precisely in the demands it makes." In other words, God doesn't want superhuman saints. He just wants people to love him in their hearts and share that joy with others. Are you yearning and striving to be the saint you are meant to be? Thank you.
Very good. So did this contest make you think about not just your speech, but about actually how you should strive to be a saint?
Yes, it did. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very well done. Thank you. All right, Liam. Liam Bizjak from St. John, Notre Dame. Go ahead.
St. Mother Teresa. St. John the Baptist. St. Francis of Assisi. These saints are popular worldwide, having done much in their lives, and are very holy. However, there are people who are just as holy, but are not as known. Have you heard of Sister Helen Prejean? Probably not. She's a nun from the Order of St. Joseph's, and wrote comforting letters to relieve the stress of a man on death row in Louisiana. The two met a while later, and neither the prisoner nor sister believed he would be put to death, since it had not happened in the state for 20 years. However, Patrick Sonnier was executed, and Sister Prejean was at his side. She is one of the greatest advocates against the death penalty, and she shares her faith with people who are at the lowest of the low in our society. Murderers. Serial killers. Pope Francis once tweeted, "The saints were not superhuman. They were people who loved God in their hearts and who shared this joy with others." Sister Prejean is no mind reader like Xavier from the movie X-Men. He used his superhuman ability of reading minds to guide young people who were in distress. Sister Prejean wasn't so lucky to be gifted with this ability. She was a mere mortal. Her faith was so strong, she used it to soothe Patrick, even as he was sitting in the electric chair awaiting death. Experiencing this must have caused her excruciating emotional pain, yet she still saw the face of God in the Forsaken. If she can do that, shouldn't we be able to see God in people as close to us as our classmates? We may not need to write letters to those in need, but we could share a smile with someone who's down, or give a comforting touch to someone who is sorrowful. Becoming a saint starts with small steps, and those steps are easier to take with someone by your side. My mom and I decided to take a trip to Loaves and Fishes, and before the fact, I was nervous because the people I would soon be serving are the homeless, the mentally ill, and some of them are scary. My mom wanted me to go so that I could see that the face of God is in everyone, even the forgotten. And later, we went, my mom serving by my side, and it wasn't as scary as I anticipated. I need to strive to be like a saint and share my love of God with others. I wonder if Sister Prejean felt fearful like I was when she experienced death row. However, we both had faith in what God had in store for us. The prisoners saw God in Sister Prejean. I saw God in the homeless. But what I didn't expect was that the homeless saw God in me. And none of us are superhuman. Thank you.
Very good. Very good. Did you see Dead Man Walking?
I've heard of it very much, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty darn famous now. Not a saint yet.
No.
But acting like one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, I remember one time going to Loaves and Fishes years ago with my brother, with some group from our town that was over there to serve that day, and they just called and you know, they have all these different jobs there, obviously, but you're right, and there was sort of this anxiety about what's this going to be like, and how am I going to relate, and what are they going to think of me? Who's this guy? You know, and it was interesting. I mean, my brother went back and worked in the kitchen, and they looked at me and said they wouldn't let me near the knives, so they put me on the line serving chili, you know, out of the, like with the big ladle, you know, and so you're doing that. And you got to talk to all these people, and it was really engaging. And you got, I think I was slowing down the line because they were so interesting. Everybody had a different story. And so we served like 700 or 800 lunches, whatever many they do. They move them through pretty fast. And that night I woke up with the worst case of tennis elbow. I thought I was going to have Tommy John surgery. It was from, you know, it was like what, 12 ounces or something. But that repetitive motion was just like, I thought, oh my God, that's my memory of Loaves and Fishes. But that's a great, you know, if more people did that, not only does it help those people, but it helps the whole society because it gives people that maybe didn't have any empathy or any knowledge, so they didn't have the empathy to say, we need to solve this problem. You know, we need to help these people. So it's anytime you can do stuff like that, it's really good.
Like a lot of the people were saying, have a blessed day. And I was like,
they
appreciate me coming.
No, they do. They absolutely do. Thanks so much. Ivan Mansour from St. John Notre Dame. You're the sweepstakes winner here. Pressure's on.
No pressure.
I can tell there's no pressure. It's amazing. Go ahead.
Since the birth of Catholicism, people have been striving to become what we call a saint. When most of us think of the word saint, the Roman Catholic tradition of canonization comes to mind. Day to day, we call people who live virtuous lives saints. In the media, people who perform seemingly impossible miracles are called saints. So what really makes a saint? Pope Francis tweeted, "The saints were not superhuman. They were people who loved God in their hearts and shared this joy with others." How can this be true? For most of our lives, we've been taught that sainthood can only be attained by the extraordinarily holy. And now anyone can be a saint? Well, yes. This has been the case for many well-known saints, including the famed Saint Augustine of Hippo. We know Saint Augustine as the great Catholic philosopher of the 4th century, but his early life tells a different story. Instead of being a holy man, he was a thief and a party animal. He committed his first crime at 11 years old. He confessed that he stole fruit, not because he was hungry, but because it was not permitted. As he grew into his teens, he developed a hedonistic lifestyle full of parties, women, and insane amounts of alcohol. Many of us are not that different from young Augustine. We too often prioritize our excessive social lives over a moral one. However, like St. Augustine, we all have a chance to write a new chapter in our lives. St. Augustine's situation steadily changed when he became infatuated with not women, but philosophy. Upon reading St. Paul's Transformation of Believers, Augustine found God's holy calling for him. He soon was baptized and ordained in the Catholic Church. He acknowledged his sins and moved on from that part of his life. He admitted that although his actions were corrupt, sin is a normal part of human life that even saints have to live with. By spreading God's word through philosophical writings, St. Augustine was able to strengthen his faith and become the prominent philosopher, bishop, and saint that we now know. By listening for and responding to God's calling, this once unholy, unvirtuous man became a saint. By doing the same, we can also become saint-like. Nothing about St. Augustine, except maybe his alcohol tolerance, was superhuman or supernatural. St. Augustine was once at the lowest of lows. His own mother had lost all hope that he would ever find his way. But he did. He is proof that if anyone has the will and dedication to become virtuous, they can. He is proof that bringing God into one's heart can lift people from the slums of life. He is proof that by finding our calling, we can all be saints. Thank you.
Very good. Well, let me ask you, I'm going to ask this to all of you, but thinking about the topic, thinking about what you had to do, did it put you on notice that I better be more saint-like myself?
Oh, yeah, definitely. No doubt about that. I mean, I think all of us can say that after hearing that quote and writing about it, we all came to a realization that we should probably be a bit more saint-like.
But you can't walk around like I'm a saint.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the hard part. You know, you're supposed to strive for something that's like St. Therese, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. It's the little things. You hear that over and over and over. The Divine Mercy diary, it just the same thing. It's the same. It's all little stuff, and it's all personal with God. And, you know, I've said that many times on this program. Like, we talk about abortion. And you know, how can we end it? How can we convince people not to do it? And it's been with us for a long time now. And I think one-on-one, if you're the parent of a newborn and you're just completely charmed and you go walking into 7-Eleven to buy a Slurpee and there's a group of teenagers in there and you act like this baby is the greatest thing you've ever had in your life. Or you act like this baby's just a real hassle and it's crying and, oh, I can't stand this. You really are setting an example for all these teenagers are watching. We're all role models. Every second of every day, we're a role model where we want to be or not. And they see that and they go, well, look at that couple. They're so charmed with that kid, you know, or vice versa. It sticks with them, you know. That's just one small thing. Thanks, Ivan. Liam, has it made you more saint-like? You're walking around with a halo?
Not that much, but after all researching of all the saints and all the amazing things that they did, changing so many people's lives, it's definitely made me think, like, if they can do that, I can do a little bit more than I'm currently doing. And it's just crazy to think that that could be something that not that I may not be able to achieve, but that I could get closer to.
So, Caitlin, has it made you more saint-like?
Definitely. It's It's a touching experience getting a prompt like this and having to write a whole speech about it, because at first you get in, you're like, okay, I'm writing to tell this to other people. But then as I was writing it, I was like, I'm telling this to me too, because writing it all out, I'm like, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, and it made me a lot better.
Of course, I mean, we have all these saints that have been canonized, but there's a whole bunch of saints that nobody's even heard of. You know, a saint just means you made it to heaven. It doesn't mean that the church doesn't declare that you, I mean, the church doesn't create the saint. The saint creates the saint. God creates the saint. The church just recognizes people as saints. Eliza?
At first, like, this topic was very difficult for me, but then as I was getting into actually, like, saying my speech, like, with my teacher and my other, like, person who did it with me, which her name is Macy, and I felt like both Macy and myself realized that we can follow God and what he said and learn from everything that Jesus has done in his life and really try harder to be more saint-like than, yeah.
Very good. Lola?
I would say this has definitely made me a little bit more saint-like. I'm not going to lie, when I first received this prompt, I had no idea what to write about.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to write about holding the door open for someone or smiling at them, and then it hit me that maybe what I needed to write about was already within me or was already something that I was going through. So I think that as I started to kind of realize that, okay, maybe I do need to write about something a little bit more serious, almost everyone that you will meet has something that they have gone through. And I think that if we all help others either going through similar situations that the world would be a better place. And it's not always something like cancer or losing a parent or something extreme like that, but it can be living with under extreme Satan, like, I don't really know how to word this. It can be living under the devil's mercy constantly and just feeling like it's around you, or having a mental disorder, and helping them cope with these things in healthy ways I feel like that's opened my eyes a lot more to those simple ways that you can help them.
Julie, you want to say something?
No, I'm just in love with what she's saying.
Yeah.
The health of the ways that you cope,
right,
is a big way that we can emulate the saint's behavior. Indeed. I love that she added that to her speech.
Lori, was this an unusual prompt for this contest?
Not really unusual. Every year I just start digging up some quotes that I think are really meaningful and kind of apropos for the timeliness of what's going on in the world. Or like last year we talked about St. Augustine's virtues topic. This year this just really hit me. I'm like, I think I really like this one. And I know that each year when we come up with the topic, the kids really have to dig deep. But you can see there that it just gives me such great hope for our future and for the future of our church. These five beautiful young men and women, and they're just so poised and articulate and faith-filled. And this is the third time I've heard each of these speeches, and had tears in my eyes listening to them again. So it's wonderful.
I just love that these are the five best homilies I've heard.
Have
you ever used a Yogi Berra quote as a prompt?
No, we try to stay with saints or popes, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yogi, maybe.
Yeah, he's got some good ones. I know that. Absolutely.
Definitely Catholic.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll see. Maybe next year, Bob.
The one that I always say with my kids when they trying to pick a place to go to dinner or something, Yogi Berra said, they were asking about his favorite restaurant. He said, nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. Or when you reach a fork in the road, take it.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Okay, yeah, well, I'll think about that for next year, Bob.
So I think we still have a couple of minutes. Favorite saint?
Definitely St. Augustine. I mean, why else would I write about him if he wasn't my favorite saint?
Yeah.
St. Michael the Archangel and St. Patrick.
Very good.
St. Bernadette of Lourdes.
I know why St. Patrick. It's that first name.
St. Eugenia.
St. Eugenia.
St. Teresa.
St. Teresa. Very good. There's a bunch of St. Teresas.
Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa. Okay. All right. All right. Mine's St. Anthony. Always works. Always.
Yeah, it does.
You know, every now and then, you know, if it's really small, I tell my kids, I say, you know, lay off. Give them a day off. Don't, you know, I mean, you know, so you can't find your cell phone. I mean, save it for something big, you know. You know, but he always works. What about you, Lori?
Well, our St. Mary, our Blessed Mother, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's, you know, she's my go-to.
I don't even think of her as St. Mary. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's just Mary. Yeah. It's just like, geez, it's not St. Jesus.
Right, that's
you
true. Know? That's true.
St. God.
That's right.
So. Julie?
Mine's a little controversial. My favorite is Mary Magdalene.
Oh, very good.
I've always been a fan of the underdog and the outcast and the redemption story, which is another reason I resonated this year as well with this young man's speech about St. Augustine. It's important for us to recognize.
Very good. Well, thank you. Thank you all for coming. Thank you, Lori, for all you do. Thank you, Julie. And thank all you kids. And I know you're going to go deliver them again for yet another audience. So thanks, and congratulations. And I know you're all going to do great things with your lives.
Before we go, I want to say thank you to my teacher, Mrs. Shelnut. She couldn't make it today, and I want to say thank you to her because she helped me a lot.
Very good. Very good. That was very saint-like.
That was very
good. Very good.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for us today. Thanks for listening. God bless. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
This is Lincoln Snyder, Superintendent of Catholic Schools, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love and God is just.